Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Certainly go through the combine, testing, finalizing things, and that's what's been we've been doing as a group here over this past week, just tweaking our list. And I think, as most publications have, we know the top two. And then from 3 to 12 or whatever number you want to take, just a lot of different scenarios. And I think our group is certainly ready for it.
Is Chicago the team in your mind that's going to set the tone for everything? They could go a couple ways.
They can certainly go a couple ways. I think there is a sort of a second grouping of players that will probably go, whether you want 3, 4, 5. I think most teams have in say 3 to 12 the same players. But I guarantee there's a lot of different orders there.
Is there an uncertainty because the defensemen aren't rated as high, and there's a cluster of all the forwards there. Is there an unpredictability as to whether there might be an early run on deep players because there might be so few in the top among the top 10?
I don't know if it's unpredictability. I think there's great players there no matter what. What's unique about this draft is you have a little bit of everything. You do have the defensemen, you have the centermen, you have scoring wingers, you have power forwards, D-men. Like, it's a little bit of whatever you're sort of you think your organization needs from that standpoint, and it means some great discussions because you can always reflect back 5 or 6 years and say, but when you're trying to evaluate a centerman versus a defenseman or something like that, it's a very difficult decision. And I think our group has done a really good job, led by Ryan Jankowski. You can just see that another year of them being together as an organization, challenging each other and what is expected of them. It's been very positive meetings this week.
With the talent that's in this draft, how good it is, do you have a good comfort level that no matter how this breaks down, you're getting a good player at number 7?
Definitely. We feel very, very comfortable with that at 7. And like you always put inquiries into possibly moving up and what's there, but those other teams have players that they certainly want to get to. So I'd be surprised if there's a lot of movement, but predicting whether there's trades or anything, I think it's very difficult from that standpoint. But we feel very comfortable where we're at 7.
Yeah, do you anticipate 7? Or would there be a chance to...
Right now, I'd say, yeah. We feel comfortable at 7, and when we go up on the stage, we'll have smiles on our faces.
Without having it.
What about 31?
31.
You guys don't have a second round pick. There are a lot of options on the table because that's a pick that I think.
Yeah, and that's where you're just at the table. You're watching how the draft progresses. Like, is there an opportunity to still move up with one of your later round picks or a player? You're also too having some discussions with teams about NHL players with that pick too. And then there's you just have to see what's there. I think a lot of times, some of those later round first round picks, you come back and get two in the second. So it'll be something that we certainly talk about, and we've been prepared for that.
At 31, do you best player available? Do you target something? Do you just see how it plays out?
No, my belief is truly best player available from that standpoint, and I think we've been very consistent across that. We certainly feel we're going to get a very strong player at that one. It'll be very unique to predict. I think last year it wasn't the first round pick, but it was the first pick in the second round. We were very happy to get Samuelson in that spot. So you just never know how it's going to turn out.
If teams are calling you for 7, is that basically off the table again with the quality of players that are going to be available?
From a
trade. I mean, would you rather just make that pick?
I'd be absolutely shocked if anything from a player standpoint progresses the next couple hours in that.
You mentioned Ryan and his group. In what ways has it evolved over your time with the Sabres?
Well, I think just the communication aspect. There's a collaboration, and we brought in a lot of new scouts when I first came to the organization, and I think there's time to sort of feel out what the expectation is, what we're looking for, and especially we brought in some new scouts who go through the process of hey, this is what happens in draft. This is what we're looking for in building our list. This is what happens, how it plays out. Once they've gone through it, I think they're always just become better scouts.
Jason, there's so much talk out there and rumor about Ristolainen. Where do you stand with him right now in this organization?
We value Risto a lot as a player, a right shot defenseman, physical presence. And we've talked a lot, Ralph and I have talked a lot about, hey, how do we continue his development? I know everyone talks about development in our organization. They talk more about our young players, Dahlin, Mittelstadt, some of our players who aren't here yet. But we still view Risto as a developing player. And so, look, we understand that there's going to be inquiries about it. We're open as an organization to continue to try to find ways to improve our team. But we realize and we're very glad to have Risto in part of our organization.
Was that part of the interview process with coaches? Was he a central part of the process? How, in theory, you could, for lack of a better term, fix him?
Not Risto specifically, but talking about a development plan of players who have been in the National Hockey League, who've been in our organization for a while, versus players who are just coming into to our organization. That was certainly part of our discussions in evaluating coaches.
When you see this, everybody's familiar with the projection on the salary cap is going to be apparently lower than what was initially projected. How does that put the Sabres or put you in maybe an advantageous position?
Well, we do have some salary cap space right now. It's always that balance. We have younger players that we know we're going to have to pay in the future. So you're trying to find out things that help your team right now. We did it last year in a move with Connor Shearer, and certainly we're going to be open to that. And whether that materializes over the next couple of days or next couple of weeks, that's still to be determined, but certainly more something we're looking at.
You've talked about adding more skill to the forward group. Is it more realistic to add a top six forward or add to the bottom six? How do you kind of want to address that moving forward?
Well, I think we're trying to build a group that has four lines that can score, that can contribute, and we relied too much on Jack Salmon and Jeff last year. It's going to come from a development of our younger players, but also if we have an opportunity to add to our group. And it's part of our thought process in making sure we got Jeff signed, is we wanted to add to the group, not try to replace him.
How tough is it right now for GMs to build a team? When you look at, we went to speed with Tampa, Calgary, Toronto, but we get to the end, and it's Boston and St. Louis, the two heaviest teams. I mean, is it almost a different game, the regular season and playoffs, and how tough does that make it for a GM to try to build a team?
I think you have to always have the balance with that, Mike. I think it's always trying to find out, you need to have enough skill to go through it, and I think, it's that skill that's willing to get into the hard areas, to compete in certain areas there. And I think what both organizations showed, too, is just, hey, they face injuries throughout their runs, and it was a situation where they had the depth to step in, and guys could come in, being out of the lineup, and contribute to their teams right away there. And obviously with the story with St. Louis is just the parity that is in the National Hockey League right now in their story, from where they were at Christmas time, started January, to the end of the season there. And it was fascinating for their fan base, and I think it was great for our league.
Do you need another young goaltender? Can you see yourself drafting a goaltender either or not today, but probably tomorrow?
Oh, come on. We always want more goaltenders, we're excited still of the growth of Almerich, what we feel. And obviously, Lukanen had an amazing year last year and very proud of where he's going to go with his development. But, yeah, you're always looking to try to add goaltending to the mix, to the fold, just because – you understand it's going to be a longer development season, and it's always a little bit more difficult predicting that. So if you can have more options within your organization, you're certainly looking to do that.
Nylander's name, you hear it out there. What did you think of his final 3 weeks of the season in Buffalo and how he took that and how he went back to Rochester and so forth?
No, I think it was disappointing with the injury at the end of the year there. I thought Alex, especially going over my first year, it was just frustrating from day one of the rookie tournament that we weren't able to get him completely healthy and sort of get back in a rhythm. And I thought there was a lot of growth in his game last year. And you saw it when I think in his time in the National Hockey League. Is there the consistency there in the National Hockey League yet? No. But in all reality, and you look at his age group, that should have been his first year pro. So, I think what's been really good is the engagement that he's had with our coaches, both in Rochester and our development staff, and just understanding what we're looking for from him to improve on his game. And he's certainly working at it. And, that's what we're excited about, is not just trying to focus on one player. We feel whether you're talking about Tage Thompson, Alex Nylander, Victor Olofsson, we have a group of younger players, CJ Smith, that there's going to be good competition in training camp, and that's what we're trying to create.
The buyout period is open. Do you anticipate using any?
I don't anticipate using any buyouts, no.
So you would not anticipate using one on Sabota?
No.
But said there's been a lot of trade discussion out there of how busy the Pone's been for you.
I don't know what other teams are doing, so I can't really dictate that. But look, there's always a lot of communication at this time of year. And whether I think that sometimes there's the belief that everything's going to happen right here, right now, this weekend. But maybe it's building up for next week or the week after. You're all together. It's a great thing about the draft is everyone here is together, whether it's at meetings, just in the city, interacting with people. So there's obviously a lot going on. And always contributes to a lot of rumors, too.
Your MO has been mostly to build the team or reshape your roster through trades versus free agency. What's the philosophy behind that, and do you expect that to continue? Are you more focused on trades this week while you're entering the so-called tampering period to versus free agency on July 1st?
Is that what we're calling it? Tampering period? I thought it was like that's the talking period we got going now. We can actually, we can do this.
Legal tampering period.
No, I think it's a balance. You're doing both, and that's why starting on Sunday you're making calls, you're interacting with people, and it's on both fronts because that other teams are doing the same thing. You're talking free agency, you have a plan. I know people talk about this year being a big free agent market, but yeah, there's certainly some high end talent, but I don't think there's the quantity in there, and so it's. And right now we sort of have a general ballpark on where their cap's going to be at, but all these things are going to certainly play into the equation here next week. And I think as where we're at as a team, we have to be ready on both fronts. We have to be ready to see about the trade possibilities. Maybe a team just can't add it all together from a cap perspective, and we're certainly going to be at least into discussions with some free agents for sure.
You were right there at the beginning of Robin Leonard with his Odyssey. What was your reaction to that speech the other night?
Very proud of Robin, very, very proud of Robin. And, it's a great story, and I hope he continues to stay after it. And I have a lot of hope for it because he took the initiative. He took the initiative. He wanted to change things, and it wasn't just talk. He actually went out there and implemented it. And I think he has a great support system there, and it was a lot of fun watching him this year, the success that he had, and just you saw it in that speech and you've seen it in his interviews throughout the entire year. He looks like a different person, and just the engagement when he came back to Buffalo and talking to people. It's a great story. It's great to see him be that dedicated, and now you just hope it continues.
And another note, the last 2 months or so especially, what was it like, seeing Ryan O'Reilly develop into a Conn Smythe guy?
I thought it was a great run for Ryan, and I think, as I talked to you before, I thought it was a great story for the National Hockey League, what St. Louis accomplished and where they were at, and the resilience that they showed not only to get to the playoffs, and then you saw in the playoffs, and you look at their road, it was not an easy road. You could have easily talked about them having a first-round loss to Winnipeg, but they battled through that, and I thought it was an outstanding final series. Both teams mentally strong. If you would have asked me after Game 3, I probably would have said Boston was going to win the series in 5. Then after Game 5, I'm saying, St. Louis is going to win the series in 6. So that ability to stay even keel on both sides, I thought it was an entertaining final for our sport.
Did you help Ralph pick his coaching staff, and what do you think of the additions?
Very excited about the people we've kept and Steve Smith and the new additions. How I've always worked with a coach on that is that we go over different names and we're working in unison on sort of what we feel the combination should be, and sort of what the roles should be in those places, and provide different names. And then it's ultimately Ralph's got to sit down and make sure that he has a comfort level with the people. And if it's someone that I don't know, having that conversation and stuff too. But no, we're, I certainly have worked with Mike Bales before in the past. Very exciting to bring him on from a helping out just not only with the goaltending, but just the defensive zone a little bit. And then, Donna Granato, I think you look at his history, AHL, NHL, what he did in the last couple of years in Chicago, U.S. development program. He's had a great track record from development, and we're excited for him to be working with our young forwards.
Have you finalized your qualifying offers? Have you extended them all?
We'll wait to make an announcement on that on Tuesday. I will say, you know, the guys that have been sort of NHL regulars, they certainly have all received them.
What's the has San Jose made a decision, or what's the timetable after the pick?
They actually have the right up to the pick, so they'll make the decision tomorrow on the floor whether they select it in the fourth round or give us the third round pick for next year.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.